It is time. Time for the food bench. Hey, food bench, Arthur Schwartz, or Arthur Schwartz Food Bench, or the Food Bench. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you? I'm okay. It's that weather I don't like, but it was pretty dry yesterday, so that was okay.
Okay.
Anyway, it is a season, however. For me, it's the season to make liqueurs. I think I touched on this previously. I know I did, because June 24th is the traditional day for making a liqueur called Nocino, which is made with green walnuts. It's on the 24th of June that the walnuts supposedly, I think it's one of the Saint Joseph's days in Italy. It's the day that the walnuts are at the perfect stage to be made into a liqueur. I actually, this for me, mid June, late June, is the time to make bay leaf liqueur. Now, I know that I've talked about this on the air before. The problem is getting the right bay leaves. Now, I do see fresh bay leaves in the supermarket, but what I'm looking for to make this liqueur is recent leaves, meaning not old, dark green bay leaves, but sort of in between green, new leaves. And I will confess, I used to get these leaves at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, where they had bay trees that they wintered indoors and then brought out in late spring to the patio, where you could sit and eat from a cafeteria kind of place, a cafe, let's call it. Anyway, I used to sit at a particular table near the bay tree and pick my 32 leaves that I needed to make the liqueur. I counted the leaves, yes. Anyway, I love bay leaf liqueur, and it's best made with leaves that have just sprouted this year. You can make it. I've been reading up on this, and I have a book actually in Italian on making liqueurs, and it points out that if you leave the leaves in longer than I do, they will extract the alcohol will extract the flavor. I mean, all you do with this is you take your 32 bay leaves, crush them up in your hand so they get all crinkly, and put them in a jar. It only comes out to about a half an ounce of bay leaves. And you put them in a jar and you cover it with a grain alcohol, which I used to have to leave New York. I used to have to buy it in Connecticut because it was legal. But now it's legal in New York State as well. Everclear is the brand name that almost invariably you find. So you pour over the Everclear and you let it sit. Now, they're relatively fresh bay leaves, meaning, sprouted this year, turned a medium green by the end of June. It only take a day or two to extract what you want from the leaves, and you've done that when the leaves get pale and the alcohol itself turns very dark green, could even be look almost black. It'll lighten up once you dilute it with sugar syrup. But anyway, that's it. That's all you have to do. So if they're older leaves, it'll just take a lot longer, and if they're fresher leaves, then it'll only take a day or two. And to that, you add sugar syrup. And by the way, I've read about this over and over again. I'm not sure exactly scientifically why, but everybody directs you to make a sugar syrup by adding the sugar to water, bringing it to a boil and stirring it. But as soon as it gets clear and all the sugar is dissolved, then you can turn the heat off and not boil it. So it never gets really boiled. And then you let the syrup, of course, cool down to more or less room temperature, and you combine it with the alcohol that has now the flavor of the leaves infused, and then you've got bay leaf liqueur. You can drink it right away. I mean, most recipes will tell you to let it rest for a couple of days at least, if not a month, which you can do, but I don't. Although I do, because we drink it right away, and then we continue to drink it, and it does change. I like it at every stage. So that's my main liqueur of the moment, will be to make some bay leaf liqueur. I've got to go find myself some bay leaves. In Italy, this is very easy. Every cafe in Rome has a hedge of bay leaves around it. And I used to go picking bay leaves in Rome just to bring them home. Anyway, the other thing that's on my mind, besides liqueurs this week, is Dubai chocolate. This is everywhere. And I had not tasted Dubai chocolate. I'll explain it in a second. Until I went to not really my neighborhood, but the next neighborhood, they call the South Slope. It's Fifth Avenue in the low 20s. This is on Fifth Avenue and 21st Street, a store called Cookies and Cream. I went to Luigi's Pizzeria across the street, which I highly recommend if you're ever in that neighborhood. It's a classic and delicious by the slice place, real old-fashioned pizzeria. And across the street is an absolutely new-fashioned kind of place. It's called Cookies and Cream, and all they sell is warm cookies, which I even hesitate to call cookies, gotta say, and milkshakes. Maybe you can, and I think you can just get ice cream too, because I read somewhere that somebody had their Dubai chocolate cookie, warm cookie, topped with vanilla ice cream, which sounded delicious to me. So Dubai chocolate is a real thing. It was basically a candy bar. It is basically a candy bar that was only created in 2021 by a married couple who have a chocolate shop. I imagine very high-end kind of chocolate shop in Dubai. It's called Fix Dessert Chocolatier in French, and it's a chocolatier in Dubai. And so it came to be known as Dubai chocolate. They invented this bar. What it is chocolate on the top, chocolate on the bottom, and in between a filling that is basically finely ground pistachio nuts or pistachio cream or pistachio paste. And this is shot through with a kind of pastry called kadaif. Now, kadaif, I'll get to in a minute, but let me just say that I got into this eating wise because this new place, Cookies and Cream, had a Dubai chocolate cookie. I would say it was more like a brownie with a big dent in the middle that was filled with pistachio cream and made crunchy, not by the nuts themselves, but by kadaif. So, kadaif is a Turkish slash Middle Eastern pastry, often described incorrectly as shredded phyllo dough. It is not shredded phyllo dough. It is a dough that is extruded, it's actually a batter that is extruded through a gizmo with little holes in it. And as it seeps out of the little holes, the batter, it goes onto a heated surface, which basically cooks the batter instantly. It's like a pancake batter sort of. And those now firm strands of pastry, batter pastry, are scooped up, and that's kadaif. Now kadaif is then further either toasted or baked into a pastry. Usually with quite a bit of butter, that makes it real crunchy and delicious. But it is not shredded phyllo pastry. Now, I have read that people who can't get a hold of kadaif, and it is sold. You don't make it yourself. In fact, the reason I know so much about kadaif is that many years ago, when I was in Turkey, I made a point of visiting a bakery in Adana, Turkey. A bakery that was famous for making kadaif, and their gizmo, I would say it looks like the swinging arm of a dishwasher with holes in it, and that was over a circular griddle, and as the batter hit the griddle, it firmed up immediately, and they had like a bench scraper to scrape the strands of now cooked batter off the griddle and put them in a pile. So that's kadaif. Now, the most famous dessert made with kadaif is kunefe, which is, if you know anything about Middle Eastern cooking, is considered like the ultimate dessert. And it's kadayif on the bottom, a cheese in the middle, and more kadayif on top. And it's baked in the oven until it's bubbling and serious food. And one kunefe can feed more than one person, but I have actually been to restaurants where they serve one small one per person. But I love kadayif, and I like kunefe, and I like filo, but they're different things. So the names of these people, by the way, it's interesting because the wife is an Egyptian-British engineer by training, and her husband, whose name is Newell, is a Filipino chef. So it's an interesting bicultural phenomenon here that's taken the world by storms from the U United Arab Emirates. Nowadays, you can buy pistachio cream, and you can buy kadayif. You know, here in Brooklyn, you sort of could buy anything, but I have seen it actually, of all places, in the kosher supermarket in the frozen food case. But you know, it's a Middle Eastern thing. And I'm going to order some online. You can actually order the real deal from a number of places. I see it's even listed on Amazon, and it's all over. I have to say, you know, hence the bakery on in Park Slope. It's not even Park Slope, it's South Slope, is making a Dubai chocolate cook. They call it a cookie. I would say it was a brownie with pistachio cream. I do like pistachio cream. I understand that Miss Jill does not like pistachio cream. Is that correct?
It's correct that I don't love nut cream.
You don't love nut cream. You don't eat peanut butter.
That's
I
different.
guess not.
No. Not really. That's it's
Yeah, it's a
peanut.
strange thing not to like, I gotta say.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about the gooey part, not gooey, not the caramel part, the quote creamy part in a Snickers bar or I don't like, even if you give me a petit four, that it's like, one of those
Okay,
two,
well,
bite it.
I like that. You know, my favorite candy bar as a kid was Three Musketeers, which is a soft nougat covered with chocolate. Couldn't be better. Well, anyway, by the way, you're really in the minority because if anything, people want their pistachio cream to be creamier than pistachio cream ever gets. And so, in the original recipe, they actually added some tahini to the pistachio so that it would give them that creamy texture that you don't like.
Oh,
And
well.
it's, yeah, and if you go to Wikipedia, you're going to find the incorrect information that it's kadayif is chopped phyllo pastry. It is not chopped phyllo pastry.
And I just want to point out this, what's annoying about that, personally, for
Yeah.
me, for me, the outlier, is okay, so you went to Wikipedia, you found something, and you knew, because you knew, that it's incorrect information. What are people supposed to do who don't know that that's incorrect information in
Just
Wikipedia?
enjoy
Okay.
the candy bar.
No. But what I'm saying is, okay, if
I
it's
don't know.
there,
I can't fight
cream.
this one. I cannot fight this one because
You
it is
can't fight it.
all
Okay.
over. Everywhere I read, rare, if I see that they explain the real kadaif, I'm thrilled because almost always they just say
I
it's
understand.
a shredded phyllo pastry, you know. So
Yeah, no.
whatever, I can't fight that one. So speaking of not being
Okay.
able to fight that one, what did I look? I looked up something this morning, and I was happily reading it. And then,
Bang.
and then all of a sudden it said, and this comes from a book called Naples at Table, written by Andrew Schwartz.
Oh,
So, and I'm Andrew Schwartz,
Andy
yeah,
Schwartz. Okay.
Andy Schwartz.
Actually, we have a
So
wonderful memory of Andrew Schwartz, but he didn't write Naples at Table.
Yeah, anyway, so I put a comment in to correct it, but the thing is that this was written 15 years ago, so who cares?
Yeah, and it but that's hilarious. I'm
He
sorry.
did mention the
But
name of the
I
book
mean, you're
correctly.
just minding your own business, doing your own thing, and then suddenly there is it's like those spikes in LA parking garages. If you suddenly are stuck.
I don't know what that means. Since I've never been in an LA
Or
parking
not,
garage.
okay. Never mind. Many parking garages, you can't back out if you are going in, you have to keep going in. They have those tire smashing spikes. If you want to back out, you have to keep going. Never mind. What all I am trying to say is that you can be perfectly happily minding your own business, trying to get some information about something, and then you come across a show stop, something that wrecks the mood, let's just say. That's all. Andrew. Andy.
I and
Anyway.
yeah, it reminds me of. I have to laugh about this one. I still remember this from so many years ago. I reviewed a restaurant very favorably and mentioned the name of the chef because it was a chef-driven place, and I got something wrong. Oh, I know. His name was Brandon or Brendan, and it was one of those. It wasn't DEN or DAN. It was DON. So his mother wrote to me to correct the spelling of her son's name as it appeared in the newspaper. I apparently got it wrong. But then she addressed the letter to Arthur Schwarzenegger.
The universe at work. Yeah.
So there
Very
you
funny. Yeah.
go. I didn't
Understood.
mind. I knew
So.
that she meant well. Yeah. Anyway. So that's the story. Is liquor time? The other liquor, by the way, just before I go off, that you have to make right now. Well, maybe not. Seasonally, yes, is raspberry liqueur. Now, I used to do this a lot years ago because I used to go pick my own raspberries. But nowadays, I notice raspberries have become very, very inexpensive, and so maybe it's worth doing. On the other hand, the raspberries that I've been buying that are very inexpensive are not all that sweet or fragrant. But I would still try it. You just take a half a pint of your raspberries that you buy in the supermarket and put them under alcohol. You'll see that the alcohol will bleach out the berries until they're sort of white almost. And then you can strain them out and add sugar syrup to your taste. It could be one on one. It could be actually a little bit more water than sugar. And that's it. That's the whole deal. And you have captured the essence of raspberries in your liqueur. I recommend you drink it before the winter comes because it does fade as time goes by, as everything does, I have
What
to
you're so poetic, so poetic.
say.
What do you so you just drink the liqueur? Do you
Yeah,
snab
yeah. I don't do anything with them except drink them.
okay.
And some of them people, you know, the. My first liqueur was limoncello. Now, everybody brings back from Italy a bottle of limoncello. Almost all of it is terrible. Way too sweet. I don't know. They all have problems as far as I'm concerned because I make my own. And to make my own is really easy. You just have to buy 12 organic lemons because you don't want to be putting pesticides in your alcohol. So you peel them with you peel the 12 lemons with a vegetable peeler, just so that you get off the yellow part, not as little of the white pith as possible. And you put the peel of the 12 lemons in a jar, and then you top it off with 1 liter of alcohol. A liter is like a quart. And this is going to make quite a lot, by the way. And I put it on the kitchen counter, and every time I walk by, well, not every time, but most times when I walk by, I shake the jar. Feels like I'm doing something. And then eventually the peel will turn white, and if you take a piece out, it should snap like balsa wood. It should not be flexible anymore. It should just snap because all the oils have been taken out and are now in the alcohol. And the alcohol has turned yellow. So that's, you strain out the peels, you now have lemon peel flavored alcohol, and you add, I would say, an equal quantity of sugar syrup to that. And that's it. The hardest part about doing this is finding the bottles to put it in. I have a collection here of nice bottles.
Oh, I know that so well. It's just, yes, but I need the jar.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot. In fact, I have too many. I'm considering editing my collection because I just bought a large quantity of olive oil because they finally have the olive oil I love at Costco. And it was $20 a liter for this really gorgeous Tuscan olive oil, which is a really good price these days. So I didn't have quite enough room to put the olive oil. So I need to edit out some empty bottles, but not the green ones. Green bottles are essential for storing olive oil. If you buy it in a tin, for instance, or I have bought those 3 liter tins, and I decant it into dark green bottles. I don't know. I somehow feel it tastes better stored in glass that rather than in metal. Anyway, so that's it.
Very, very edifying. High edification quotient today, Andrew. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, no, Andrew, yes. By the way, my sister was supposed to be Andrew if she was a boy. She ended up Andrea.
My brother is Drew, Andrew, because he started out as David, and somebody said, Davy, and that was that. So to avoid the Andy, it became Drew.
It became Drew. Well, my sister
we probably all have stories like that tucked away.
Yeah.
And
all right. Well, mine are not so tucked away lately. They've been spouting out. So
okay.
So to save you from another story, I will say have a great week, everybody.
All right.
Enjoy the heat. Do you enjoy heat?
And make your liquor.
And make liquor.
All right.
Bye.
We thank you. Bye. Love to you, love to Bob. This has been Arthur Schwartz, The Food Mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.